And good morning and great to see you. It's a great day. So glad that you guys are here. So as you would have heard, today we're baptizing Kirsten and Steve and George. And I don't want anyone to be here this morning and not switch their brains on. Please don't be gullible. Please, whether you're a Christian or not yet a Christian, I'd love everyone to listen carefully and think about what Jesus is going to teach us. Because that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to listen to Jesus. Listen to what he says. What's going on? Look at that water out there. What's that about? What's happened to these people? What does this all mean? Come with me. We're going to listen to Jesus. So I know Matt's already prayed. Let me pray. I'm going to ask for his help, and then we'll look at what he says together. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, please. We listen to so much stuff. We listen to the TV and the radio and the DJs, and we listen to our friends, and we listen to our mates at the pub, and we listen to our own voices. Can we just listen to you for a short while? Please help us to understand what you say. Help no one to be gullible, but to think. And will you explain yourself to us? Amen. Well, let me start off with an understatement. Here's an understatement for you. Australians don't trust their leaders. Is that an understatement or what? I don't know if you remember the grand final last year. Do you remember the grand final? And there was this scene. Look, I wasn't that interested because the Eagles weren't in it, but I'll watch anyway. And what you got is this one scene, the cameraman, you know they got these big screens at the MCG. And at this one point, the cameraman focused on Malcolm Turnbull. And the whole stadium just erupted in boos. I mean, it was so awkward. And you could just see the cameraman reeling back and going to some pretty blonde and trying to take everyone's mind off what just happened. It was awkward. Because Australians don't trust their leaders. In fact, like everyone knows, Australians don't vote leaders in. We just vote leaders out. The truth is, we know, like, it's... You had your chance. We never believed you anyway. We knew you were going to fail. You failed now, so move out and let's bring the next failure in. We just don't trust our leaders. If it wasn't compulsory voting, you know no one would go. We don't have faith in our leaders. And in fact, it's not really our fault. Let's be honest. The truth is, they make so many promises so that they can get elected, you know. And then you get into power and things change. Reality strikes. Did you hear that the wall between America and Mexico is now going to be partly fence? It's gone from wall to fence already, just in like a few weeks. And so there's a deep skepticism about leaders. We don't trust leaders because they look after themselves. They don't look after us. Did you hear about the Minister of Correctional Services in Victoria, who was using taxpayers' money to chauffeur his dogs between his two houses? I mean, that's hilarious. You know, we don't trust our leaders. And we definitely don't trust religious leaders. Definitely. There's just one scandal after another. I mean, the Roman Catholic Church is the biggest landowner in the world. They got their own bank. Why are you so rich? Why are you so powerful? It makes us suspicious. What's up with you? And then there's the endless sex abuse scandals. I mean, like virtually every day in Australia, there's another sex abuse scandal in the institutional church. We don't trust political leaders. We don't trust religious leaders. And if you're here this morning and you don't trust political leaders and you don't trust religious leaders, you are going to love Jesus because he didn't like either of them. In fact, you will love what the Bible says because the Bible tells us that God is angry with religious leaders and God is angry with political leaders. Let me read you a little passage. This passage I'm about to read you comes from long ago. There was a prophet called Ezekiel. And God spoke through this prophet. And this is what God says. God says this, "You shepherds of Israel." Now in the Bible, a shepherd is a ruler. A shepherd is more often than not a religious leader, but it can be political as well. So a shepherd is a ruler. And God says this, "You shepherds of Israel, you've been feeding yourselves. Shouldn't the shepherd feed the sheep? But you eat the fat. You clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat ones, but you don't feed the sheep." God says, "You leaders, you just take, 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 take. You don't give anything back. The weak you haven't strengthened, the sick you haven't healed, the injured you haven't bound up, and the strayed you haven't brought back. You don't look after people. You look after yourselves." This is what God says about religious leaders especially. "And you've ruled them with force and harshness. And the result is that God's people suffer." People suffer. When the rulers are bad, ask any Cuban under Fidel, when the rulers are bad, the people suffer. So God says this, "So the people were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became food for the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered all over the mountains on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over the face of the earth with no one to search or seek for them." God says people are like sheep, which isn't very complimentary, really, if you think about it. But God says people are like sheep, and they've been scattered. They're directionless. There's no one telling people the truth. Everyone's in it for themselves. And they're scattered everywhere with no one to care for them. And so, God makes an amazing promise. This is, I'm talking about hundreds, thousands of years ago, God made a promise. He made it through the prophet Ezekiel. And you know what God says? "I am going to come and look after people. I'm done with human rulers. They always mess up. I'm going to come and look after people." And so look what God says. He has his promise. And this comes from the prophet Ezekiel. God says this, "For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search out for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I'll rescue them from all the places where they've been scattered." God says, "I've given up on human rulers. I'm going to come. I'm going to be the good shepherd, and I'm going to gather my sheep to myself." Now, with that background, listen to what Jesus says. Look what he says in verse 11. Look in your passage in front of you in verse 11. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." I am the good shepherd. Jesus says that he is God who has come into the world to gather his sheep and to look after them and to feed them. Look at those words on the screen in front of you. I am the good shepherd. So what we want to do this morning is we want to think about those words. Is Jesus really a good shepherd? Steve and Kirsten and George have come to a place in their lives where they think that's true. They think Jesus is the best shepherd ever. And I want to invite all of us to think about it. Have Steve and Kirsten and George bumped their heads? Or did they drink something? What's happened to them? Or is that true? We want to think about it. Some of you might look at that and say, "I am the good shepherd." You might think to yourself, "No, he's not." You might look at that and say, "No, that's not true." Some of you might look at that and go, "Honestly, I don't care. I really don't care." You know what Jesus should have said? Jesus should have said, "I am the irrelevant shepherd." That's what he should have said, because he's really irrelevant. "I am my own shepherd." Well, are you really? Let's think about it. Let's think about it together. Three things quickly this morning. Three things. First thing, the good shepherd speaks to his sheep. How do I know Jesus is a good shepherd? Well, the first thing about a good shepherd is he speaks to his sheep. Look at verse 1. Look with me in this passage. Jesus said this, "Truly, truly, I say to you." I've got to stop there. Don't you love it when someone says, "Truly, truly"? Jesus is saying, cross my heart, Jesus is saying, I'm not lying. I'm telling you the truth. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you." At last, here is a leader with no spin. Here is a leader who's not lying. "Truly, truly, I say to you." Now look what he says. "He who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber." Oh dear. That's not a very nice thing to say. Don't you agree? Wow, that's a bit heavy. Jesus is a bit grumpy. Thieves, robbers. Why is he so grumpy? What's Jesus angry about? Well, the answer is he's angry with religious leaders. Jesus hated religion, and he hated its self-righteousness. Jesus called the religious leaders of his day thieves and robbers. Let me show you what just happened. You might be sitting here. You don't know what happened in chapter 9. We looked at that 2 weeks ago. But this is what has happened. Jesus has gone to a blind man and he's healed him so the blind man can see. But when Jesus did that, he broke all the religious rules because he did it on a Sabbath. He broke all the religious rules. And so the religious leaders are angry with Jesus because they don't care about people. They care about their rules more than people. And so they get angry. And what they do is they throw the poor blind, well, he's not blind anymore, but they throw the guy out. So look at this. This is what happened 2 weeks ago in chapter 9. So the religious leaders are shouting at this poor guy who's just had his eyes fixed. And they say to him, "You were born in utter sin. How dare you teach us?" And they cast him out. Now that's religion. Religion looks at people who are sinners and throws them out. "You're not good enough for us. You don't dress properly for us. You don't talk like us. You're not conservative enough for us." That is religion. Religion throws people out. The worst thing about religion is that it makes some people think that they're better than other people. That's what religion does. It makes some people think that they're better than other people. And that's what they're doing, and they're throwing this poor guy out. But watch how different Jesus is. Look what happens. Jesus heard that they cast him out, and having found him, can you see? He's the shepherd who's looking for people who get rejected. Jesus loves outcasts. And having found him, Jesus said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" I'm not going to go into that now. We looked at that about 2 weeks ago. And he answered, "Well, who is he, sir, that I can believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped Jesus because he understood that Jesus is God. Now, that's the background. And it is this attitude that has made Jesus so angry. So look what he says in verse 1. "All those who come in another way, that man is a thief and a robber." Now watch what Jesus says. "But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they won't follow. They'll flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus says the good shepherd speaks to his sheep. And he calls them by name. "Psst, you, come here." Now, the background to this picture is in this day when Jesus is talking, you've got a pen, right? Picture a common pen. And everybody's sheep in. Mine's the blue ones. Yours are the pink ones. These are the yellow. Look, Yanni, do you get different color sheep? No, I don't know. But so all these sheep are in there, right? And then the various shepherds come and they call their sheep. And they was like, woo, it's me, you. And the sheep, do sheep's ears prick up? I really should stay off all the animalology. But anyway, so when the shepherd who owns the sheep speaks, the sheep recognize their own owner and he calls them out. But the important point for us this morning is that a good shepherd speaks to his sheep. Friends, this is what real Christianity is about. Real Christianity is all about listening to Jesus. That's real Christianity. Listening to Jesus. Jesus speaks to us. Now you might get confused, so let me explain. When I say Jesus speaks to us, I'm not talking about superstition. So in superstition, we want all the lights to go dark, okay? And then we have a smoke machine. And it's all like, ooh. And then someone says, I feel Jesus is telling me that you must all give me your money or whatever. That's not what I'm talking about. That's superstition. But I'm also not talking about religion. When the Pope sits on his chair in his palace and he says, you may not wear a condom, that's Jesus. Is it really? Really? No, it's not Jesus. Because he doesn't speak like that. He doesn't speak through religious leaders. Where does Jesus speak? If we're going to listen to Jesus, where are we going to hear him? It's in front of you. Look, it's on your lap. These are his words. Jesus' words are written down for you. They're right in front of you so that you don't get deceived. So if you come here this morning and that bald guy starts going, no, you can, wait, let me just, you can check for yourself. Because Jesus' words have been written down for you. And why do you think the church gathers every Sunday? Why do we as a church do this every, those guys, I think they just like singing, really. I prefer the beach myself. No, the reason we gather like this on a Sunday is because together we listen to Jesus. Because he speaks through his words. They're written down for you. The gift of prophecy is the ability to explain and apply these words. Not to add fresh words, but to explain these words. That's prophecy. And all over the world, more than a billion people in different cultures, languages, races, all over the world, Christians get together to listen to Jesus. And he speaks through his word. What is the point of a God who doesn't speak? How dumb is that, literally? How dumb is that? Jesus says that a good shepherd speaks to his sheep. And they hear his voice. You know, I'm a parent. It's like having a parent. Imagine if you were a parent and you gave your children toys. You can have an Apple this, you can have an Apple that, but because I love you, you getting an Android, you know, because that's better. Or whatever. And you give your children lots of toys, but you never talk to them, ever. Is that love? Well, how about this? You're a parent and you've got children and three children and you always only speak to the one. Hey, listen, tell those guys there that I love them. Okay, tell them. Yeah. The other two are going to go, what's wrong with me? Why don't you talk to me? Well, the joy of real Christianity is that God speaks to all of us because we've all got the same word written down for us. The good shepherd speaks to his sheep and his sheep hear his voice. Kirsten and Steve and George have heard him speak through his words. But not everyone hears it. I admit that. Look at verse 6. Look what happens in verse 6. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Right there. Who's the best teacher in the world? Well, I'm going to say it's Jesus, okay? And they didn't understand him. Is he a bad teacher? No, because they were not his sheep. His sheep don't listen. They don't get it because they're not his sheep. Look at verse 3 to 4. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So if you don't hear Jesus, you're not his sheep. But don't think you're free, because you've still got a shepherd. See, you're still listening to other shepherds. Jesus is not your shepherd, fair enough. But that means you've got other shepherds, movie stars. Angelina speaks, it's true. Maybe you're listening to that kind of shepherd. Or maybe you're listening to your friends. They are your shepherd. What your friends tell you, that's the truth. Or maybe you're listening to the world. And it tells you money makes you happy. Because the world tells us that. Every single advert on TV tells me if I get that thing, I'll be happy. Or maybe you just eat, drink, drive nicely, be a nice person and don't do burnouts. And then you'll be okay. Is that the shepherd you're listening to? All of those voices have got one thing in mind. They're all designed to tell you one thing. You're okay without Jesus. Every voice is there to tell you one thing. You're okay without Jesus. You don't need him. He is the irrelevant shepherd. But some hear him. Kirsten heard him. Steve heard him. George heard him. I heard him. I was 26, thereabouts. It was only 3 years ago, so I should remember. But anyway, I heard him. Look at all the people around here. Doctors. There's a couple of doctors here. There's tradies. There's surfers. There's geeks. There's young people. They've all heard his voice. There's nothing in the tea, people. The reason these people are Christians is because they've heard Jesus' voice. But Jesus isn't just a talker. The good shepherd isn't just a talker. He's also a doer. And that's the second thing about a good shepherd. The good shepherd speaks to his sheep. Secondly, and this is what makes him a good shepherd, he provides for his sheep. Otherwise, he wouldn't be a very good shepherd. So look at verse 7 to verse 10. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I'm the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it abundantly." Can you see what Jesus is doing? He's comparing himself to other shepherds. And look what he says in verse 10. Other shepherds, thieves, come only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus says this. Please listen. If you follow anything else other than Jesus, in the end, it will steal from you, it will kill you, and it will destroy you. That's what Jesus says. If you've got another voice in your head, and if you follow it, you will end up being stolen from, killed, and destroyed. That's a heavy thing to say, but that's what Jesus says. So let me try and think of some examples of what he's saying. Let's think of an example. Let's say money. Let's say money is your good shepherd. Money is what you follow. Well, I want to tell you, in the beginning, it's an awesome shepherd. Because it can give you stuff. Fun stuff. Can give you a jet ski. Can give you so much. In the beginning, you're thinking, oh, this is the best shepherd I've ever had. But over time, soon you will realize that all the stuff it's giving you is boring And you're always on Gumtree selling your boats and your jet skis and your old kites and boards because it got boring. Then over time you realize, you know what, I actually don't have enough. I need more. I never understand why Donald Trump ran for president. I'd be on an island surfing somewhere. But he needs more power, more control. And in the end, you become an addict. And if you love money and money is your shepherd, you will never have enough. Never have enough. You will always want more. And you will never be satisfied. The poor man on his bicycle is far happier than the dude with his fifth 4x4. And what you do with money is you lose sleep and you stress and you're anxious. Because you know why? Your money actually doesn't look after you. You have to look after your money, and it's a stress. And you sacrifice time to make it and energy. You even sacrifice relationships because of money. But in the end, what does your shepherd do for you? In the end, you die rich with lots of toys and you take nothing with you. It stole from you. In the end, your money can't help you. And it turns out you were the biggest gambler in the universe because you bet your bottom dollar that there's no life after death. You don't know, but you just bet. And it turns out you were wrong. Your money lied to you. You've lived for the wrong thing. Money is a bad shepherd. Let me give you one other example. Let's talk about sex. Maybe sex is a good shepherd. Because if I'm getting some, life is good. But you don't realize it's lying to you. It's a bad shepherd. Because you're always stressing about how you look. You're always worried about what people think of you. You're never satisfied. And then you go bald. And you think, oh, well, thank goodness for Vin Diesel and Dwayne, not this Dwayne, the other Dwayne, the Rock. And you think, oh, yay, you know, bald is the new sexy, you know. But the truth is you're never satisfied. And you can't do real relationships at all. When you finally meet someone that you actually care about, you can't do real relationships because you've given your heart to a bad shepherd and it's got you. And your heart is always empty. And ultimately, when you're old, even with Viagra, you don't care anymore. Sex was a bad shepherd. Now, I know you might be sitting here going, this is awesome. I don't have either of those things. I am my own shepherd. Hey, I like a little bit of money. Just get up to Ningaloo twice a year. I enjoy a bit of sex like everyone else. But I'm my own shepherd. I'm smarter than that. Those things haven't got me. I am my own shepherd. If that's what you think, you're wrong. Don't you realize one day that you will be led by somebody else? Hear me out. One day, that nurse is going to hold your hand and help you to the toilet. One day, someone else is going to lead you. One day, Silver Chain will come to bath you. One day the OT is going to help you move your arms and legs. And finally there will be a machine that helps you to breathe. And then you will die. And you will realize you weren't such a great shepherd. But look what Jesus says. Look at verse 10. Look what Jesus says. The thief comes to steal, kill, destroy. Now listen to Jesus, the good shepherd. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Abundant life means life that goes beyond the grave. Eternal life. Jesus says, I lead my sheep through death and forever. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd who can give you life beyond the grave. Jesus is a good shepherd because he won't go anywhere where he hasn't been before. Jesus came into our world and died. And 3 days later, he rose again. And when he takes you by the hand and he says, Dwayne, come, follow me. He's not taking me anywhere where he hasn't been himself. He died. But he rose again. He's the only person who's ever done that. And that's why he's a good shepherd. And it's not just a good shepherd for taking us to eternal life. But look what he says. He feeds us now. Look at verse 9. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and he will go in and out. And look at this. Find pasture. I will provide for you, says Jesus, because I don't want to take from you. There's nothing you can give me. I want to give to you and provide for you. Christians have often sung this hymn. Look at this. This comes out of the Old Testament. So this was written a long time ago before Jesus. And it's a Psalm 23. And it goes like this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What does that mean? Because we don't talk like that today. I shall not want. Huh? Well, it's old language. What it means is, the Lord is my shepherd. I will never be in a situation where I don't have everything I need. Because the Lord is my shepherd. I'll never be in a situation where I don't have everything I need. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. In other words, he looks after me physically. He gives me what I need. But more than that, he restores my soul. He feeds me in my heart. He satisfies me. That deep longing I have is satisfied by my shepherd. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What does that mean? Well, if the Lord is the good shepherd and one of his sheep go astray, what kind of shepherd is he? It's his name at stake. If he is your shepherd, he'll never let you go astray because his name is at stake. Jesus says, I am that. Jesus says, I am the Lord. I am the good shepherd. So let me ask you, how's life treating you? How's life going? All your relationships working out nicely? Have you got a shepherd better than Jesus? Please tell me, because I want to join you. Have you found somebody better than Jesus? But you know what the best thing about Jesus is? And I've saved this for last. Look at this. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This is the best thing I'm asking you. Do you know any religion in the world where your God will die for you? There's nothing that can compare to this. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Look at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and he leaves the sheep and he flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand. He doesn't care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. What is Jesus saying? I love you and I lay down my life for you. Jesus says, I love my sheep more than I love my life. How do you know when someone loves you? How do you know when someone loves you? Okay, maybe they give you stuff. So that's going up. Oh, look, gave me an Android phone. Cool. Maybe they give you something when it hurts them. That's pretty good. They give you something when it, like, they couldn't afford it. Wow, I think they like me. Maybe they give you themselves. Oh, now that's love. Yeah, they gave themselves to me. But what happens if they give themselves to you at their own loss? That's love. Have you ever been loved by like that? If you're a child of God and you belong to Jesus, that's how you've been loved. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Think of Jesus' life. Think of it. So, Jesus comes into the world. No HBF, no Princess Margaret. He gets born in a stable, as you'll see at Christmas time. He's lying in an animal feeding trough. He grows up poor. He walks around like all of us, just a slob like every one of us, as the song goes. He's as poor as can be. He doesn't have Trump Tower. There's no Trump Tower. Have you seen the Pope? He lives in a palace. The guy lives in luxury like you can't believe. He drives around in a glass box. He's got his own jumbo. Jesus walks around on his feet, hungry, cold, thirsty, hanging out with common people. And he ultimately gets crucified. Ultimately, the religious leaders crucify him. He's stripped naked. He's whipped to pieces. He's stuck to a cross, nails driven through his hands and his feet. And they put him up on a cross and they leave him with no clothes on, bleeding to suffer and die the longest, slowest, most agonizing death they could think of. Why is he doing that? Poor guy. What an unfortunate end to a promising life. Why is he doing that? Well, look at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life. And there's a little word there. For the sheep. He did that for you. Jesus Christ died in order to protect you. He died so that you don't have to die. It's like that shepherd when the wolf comes. And as the wolf comes, the shepherd could go, well, what's one sheep out of 99? Or he can jump in front and protect the sheep and get bitten. On the cross, Jesus Christ was protecting you. But Dwayne, how? What's going on? I don't understand. Well, let me just show you. Look at verse 17. For this, let me explain it to you. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me. Jesus is not weak. He's doing this voluntarily. But I lay it down on my own accord, and I've got authority to lay it down, and I've authority to take it up. This charge, here's our answer, I received from the Father. Let me explain it to you. You and I deserve to die. The truth of the matter is, you and I deserve to be punished by God. You know, I don't have to convince you you're bad. You know you're bad. I know I'm bad. Your own conscience tells you you've done wrong things. You know you're in trouble. And you know if you die and meet God, you're going to be in trouble. You're not Mother Teresa. You're in big trouble. But God loves you still. He still loves you. And so he sent Jesus, listen, to bear your punishment in your place. Look at this passage from the prophet Isaiah. Can you see how Christians don't make this stuff up? This was written nearly 1,000 years before Jesus. Look what it says. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've all turned, except for me, because I'm in ministry. No, all of us, every one of us have turned, everyone, to his own way. We've followed the wrong shepherds. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity, which means sin, of us all. God the Father sent God the Son to die in your place because he loves you. Please don't think I'm saying God is a wolf. That's not what this means. A wolf here just represents danger. But God is. He's not a wolf, but he is dangerous. Can I say that again? God is dangerous. If you should die and stand before him guilty, which is every one of us, and unforgiven, that will be the most stupid thing you've ever done. But you don't have to. because Jesus died in your place. And when Christians die, they still face God and they're still guilty. But they're forgiven because Jesus was their good shepherd who laid down his life for them. Fake shepherds will abandon you. The good shepherd will never abandon you because he died for you. So three things about a good shepherd. The good shepherd speaks to his sheep. The good shepherd provides for his sheep. The good shepherd lays down his life for sheep. I've got one last question. One last question. What do you think? What's going through your mind? Roast turkey a l'orange in the oven or whatever. What's going through your mind? What are you thinking? Well, have a look at this. You've got a number of options. Look at verse 19. There was again division among the Jews because of these words. Can you believe it? Do you think for a moment that when I stand up and teach the Bible, I think everyone in this room is going, oh, amen, brother, hallelujah, please. Yeah, some people do that. And we don't mind, but it's a bit awkward. No, I know that the words of Jesus cause a division. Look at verse 19. There was a division. Some of you will think, this is not for me. This is for the wife. I only come here for the wife so I can keep her quiet. Some of you think this is not for you. You're going to sort it out when you're 73 and 2 months and 3 days old because you know you're going to get there somehow. There's a division. Look what some people thought. Many of them said, he has a demon. Why listen to him? Some people thought Jesus is bad. Some people think Jesus is bad. He's a demon. He's evil. Why are you going to church? What a way. Why listen to Jesus? Why go to church? You should go to the beach. You're wasting your time in church. That's for old ladies, with respect to old ladies. It's not for us young and strong people. That's what some people think. Others said he's not evil. Look, he's insane. Jesus is not bad. Jesus is mad. Why listen to him? All this Christian stuff. It's mad. They're all drinking something and there's something in the tea, which can't be true because most of us drink coffee. But anyway, why listen to him? Don't go to church. It's a waste of time. Why listen to him? But others said this. These are not the words of one who is evil, who's oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Listen, some people realize that these words are true. They're not evil. They're not mad. They're true. But more than that, it's not just what Jesus says. It's what he does. He opened the eyes of the blind. And many of us, we saw this 2 weeks ago, are sitting here and we've realized not that Jesus' words are true only, but that he's opened my eyes. I suddenly realize what the world is about. I suddenly realize that there is a God and he loves me and he sent his son to be my good shepherd. Maybe that's you this morning. That is definitely Steve. That's definitely Kirsten. That's definitely George and many others here. Is it you? You're still holding out. Well, listen, we're going to take a few questions now off the floor, and because it's a baptism, we're only going to take three today, but I want to beg you, if you have questions about this, if something I said just makes you want to ask questions, please take me to the dome or somewhere better and listen, I'll pay and we can sit and talk. Don't be scared of me. I haven't bitten anyone for ages and I'll eat first before I come and then you'll be safe. Let's go and talk. Don't be afraid. Get my number. Come and talk to me. I'd love to answer your questions. I think Jesus is better than you think he is. But I'll take a few questions now, and then we'll carry on with our baptism. So who's got any questions? Just three questions for today. Does God still speak to us today through, for instance, dreams? And my answer to that was no. Words are words and dreams are dreams. And if you have a dream, you're going to have to interpret it, which means you're going to have to put your own words in. Those aren't God's words. So Does he prompt us through dreams? Yes. Does God work through dreams? Yes. Does God work through sickness? Yes. Does God work through amazing circumstances? Yes. Does he speak to us through those things? No. He speaks to us through his word. Otherwise, I'll be led astray because I don't trust my dreams. So, no. But I do want to say that he works through those things, but he doesn't speak through them. Here is his word. If Jesus gives everything we need, then what about all the people starving or suffering in the world? They don't have everything they need. Well, I take it that they've got everything they need. Hear me. Hear me. If you are Jesus' sheep, and I can't speak for everyone because not everyone is Jesus' sheep. So, but let's assume Jesus' sheep are starving, and that's true. Some do. The truth of the matter is they still have everything they need. Because at the end of the day, when Jesus is in your life, you realize that Jesus is all you ever needed. Now, you might still suffer. You might still die. In fact, no, you will die. But he will still be with you. And he will take you. Those who have truly come to know Jesus know that he is more valuable to them than food. Because food will only keep you alive. If it's Macca's, 3 seconds, 4 seconds, it will make you even shorter life. But anyway, but if it's food, it'll only keep you alive for so long. But Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Those who have truly grasped Jesus know that he is better than food. So they have everything they need. Everything. What evidence is there to prove that the Bible is actually true? Right, let's start sermon number 2. Folks, I would love to answer that question. Whoever asked that question is thinking correctly. It's a great question to ask. And I really don't have time to answer it all now. But I'll quickly say this. I know the Bible is true because of Jesus. It is Jesus that persuaded me about the Bible. Because it is Jesus that pre-authenticates the New Testament by sending out his apostles, and it is Jesus who post-endorses is the word I'm thinking of, the Old Testament. Jesus is the reason I believe the Bible, but there's lots of other reasons, and whoever asked that question must come grab me. I'd love to show you, but ultimately, the proof is in the pudding. Give it a go. Read it. Read it. And here's what I say to people. People say to me, I've still got questions. I'm like, okay, what are they? Oh, no, I've still got questions. Yeah, but what are they? Yeah, but I've still got questions. Write your questions down. Get them sorted. Stop hiding behind this thing called questions. Write them down and get them answered. Because the Bible has got all the answers. It really does. Otherwise, I wouldn't believe it myself. So the great question, I don't think I did that question justice. All right, why don't we pause for a moment? We don't do this every Sunday, so if you're a visitor, this is a thing we're going to do today, and it's a great thing. So do we need to stand quickly, Matt? No. Okay, he says no, so then I'll take that as true. Okay, let me explain baptism to you. You know what I've done? I've spoken.